Well, we're continuing our conversation with El Pueblo Healthcare about the 40th anniversary here in the, I'll say the heart of Bernalillo, because as I mentioned before, if you are not a patient or a neighbor, what kind of a business can ask for being convenient to two interstate exits? I mean, it's all location, location, location. So with that said, we're now moving on to the actual medical side of El Pueblo Health Services with Dr. Stephen Hartman, who is local, Albuquerquean. Is that Albuquerquean, or do we say I always get it all. Yeah.
Burgueño, if you're from Albuquerque. But
Burgueño?
Burgueño, yeah, with a Q.
Burgueño. I think I just had that at La Strada. Does that mean Albuquerque?
Means Albuquerquean, but it's slang and
Like Kirkian.
Street term, yep.
And how often do you use that?
Not very often.
Okay. I'm glad we had an opportunity to use that. But, I mean, you're a part of the community. You grew up here. You went to school here. What high school? I know all of my New York relatives. There's PS3. And
right. I'm Albuquerque High, and then UNM through all of my undergraduate and medical school training.
So Albuquerque High is go?
Bulldogs.
Bulldogs, okay. Isn't that... Well, that's the Spartans out here.
Spartans.
Were you an athlete in any way?
I played soccer through high school and a little beyond, but never in college.
You mean football?
Football.
Football. The one that you play with your feet.
That one.
Yes. Just for fun.
Yeah, I mean, it was competitive in high school, and I played on a city competitive league back in high school years as well.
I think I would have been the goalie, because I never really loved running up and down the field. And then you, through your relationship with, you know, interning and all that, and working with Dr. Firestone, you set on a path, and you worked here several years as a provider, primary care doctor, and now you are the medical director. Was that any kind of a decision to go, you go home, you go, hey, honey, they want me to be medical director, or is it just like, well, duh, of course I'm going to be?
Well, no, I certainly among the providers here, we have a great staff and have had some turnover over the last years. But we've all been a very good, well-rounded group of family at work, if you will. I think we all tend to get along really well. So it was, I was somewhat nominated for the position and was certainly happy to take that responsibility under in my arms and go with it. I think as far as medical director position, I feel like we run the clinic in a very social way, in a very shared responsibility kind of way, and really talk through a lot of our decisions as a group and how we manage care and what practices we like to change.
I don't know if it translates to the medical providing services, but there have been times in my life where I've worked for Fortune 50 companies and there was an opportunity to possibly, you know, move up the food chain. And at some point it became, I'm going to be filling out more spreadsheets and writing memos than actually what I was educated to do and what I've been doing for you for 5 or 10 years, which I really, really like. So were you concerned about, well, now I'm not going to be able to doctor, I'm going to have to worry about other doctors?
The thought was definitely there. Luckily in our practice, again, being a small group, I have an excellent man at the helm as far as Rick Adesso is CEO, and he does a lot of the managerial computer paperwork responsibilities. He keeps me up to date with what I need to know from the business side of things. And really the medicine, I still get to do 99% clinical medicine that I really enjoy. And the oversight, luckily, of a small, good group of providers makes it pretty easy.
Right. Now, I know that everything I read on the internet and see on TV is real. So I'm thinking of the TV show House. And one of the major subplots on that program, I don't even know if it's still on, was the administration, the hospital administrator, and the medical director fighting all the time of, this is good medicine, but the board won't accept that. Does that happen in small clinics, or is that just TV?
We've been really fortunate, I think, that that our business has been growing and aligns well with what we'd like to do clinically and what we expect of our providers. And we haven't had any major conflicts in the last years. I certainly can imagine that pushes can turn to blows in certain scenarios, but we've been really fortunate and
right
and doing really well.
But none of this, Dr. Hartman, you're using too many cotton swabs, you know. Okay.
No, luckily we're doing well.
You got a lot of cotton swabs. So as the medical director, 4 or 5 years, still, I don't want to say getting your feet wet, but you're relatively young. You've got a long career. I assume it. You foresee it being all with El Pueblo. Eventually, there'll be the Dr. Hartman wing down here. What do you want to see change? Not for the sake of change, but for the sake of, we'll say, growth.
Sure. You know, El Pueblo has been a staple to Bernalillo as far as providing medical care and really being the go-to place in town for healthcare for the past 40 years. I think from here ongoing, we love to do our best to meet the needs of the community to continue to be accessible and familiar to our patients. As far as growth, we would love to expand what we offer and certainly have been in the talks of trying to bring dental services into the clinic.
Is that kind of the wave of the future?
I mean, I think being what's often referred to in various different ways as patient-centered, having a focus of comprehensive care, of providing as many needs as possible to an individual patient within one, under one roof can be really, I think, beneficial, and certainly the accessibility point still is very important for patients.
So to that extent, and this still is KUPR 99.9 FM in the high desert of Placitas, and we're talking with Dr. Hartman, the medical director of El Pueblo Health Services, and I'm still Matthew Bronson. So we're talking about expanding the patient resources in the smaller community health services and providing at least dental cleaning, if not more. And with the aging of America, we all know diabetes is a big, big deal. Neuropathy, pain, limb loss or digit loss. So have you all talked about, or in other clinics, bringing in a podiatrist?
We've not specifically talked about podiatry. We've certainly hope that if we can afford to, and if we do expand our services, bringing in additional services that would help lots of various long-term disease problems, diabetes being a big focus, obviously, in New Mexico. We would love to have something like a diabetes educator, perhaps a diabetes group classes or visits together.
If you can afford it, doesn't that kind of pay for itself?
Everything's time and money, so you know, new positions within the office is more income
Well, and you have to fund it. It takes a while for.
Yeah. So if we can make that happen, if we could either find the resources or the right person or the right accommodation.
But you're finding it would be a service that would be beneficial.
I think it would be incredibly beneficial to us as providers to have that resource at our fingertips, as well as to our patients to have that resource nearby. And
kind of wearing both your hats, Dr. Hartman, as medical director as well as a provider. Any small things you'd like to see change within El Pueblo that would make it easier for you to do your job, or would be better for the clients?
Yeah, and a lot of that comes down to what is coming down the pipes through medicine and the electronic health record. We are certainly in the process of creating a patient portal to give patients more ease of access to their records, to their lab results, to communicate with their providers on a more regular basis. As it goes right now, we're changing some of our schedules to allow more acute care visits and allow quicker access to get in so that we can keep our patients here at home rather than having them be seen as frequently at urgent care centers.
Right.
where they're not as familiar with providers there.
I think it's interesting. The urgent care centers are kind of a Monday through Friday operation.
Oh, I think a good amount of them do some weekends as well, but they're certainly
I'm misinformed as usual. I'm used to that. Is the profile of El Pueblo's customers, clients, patients, are they computer literate enough to want a portal?
That's a great question, and I think the importance of being accessible to those who are is great. For those who are not, you know, we're still a phone call away, and hopefully not more than a message away from being able to get,
or possibly a few blocks
or
away.
A few blocks. You know, I plenty of people stop in to request results or reports or follow up on any ongoing issues.
I was surprised talking to Rick Odesso, the managing director here at El Pueblo, that the I thought it was this whole medical HIPAA thing that you couldn't let me email you my records or take a picture of a gash. He said, no, it's technology. It's the fact that a lot of different software providers it's non-compatible. It's, you know, we've got Windows 9000 now that will still work with Windows 8000, but all of the medical software is not interoperative, very similar to what we see in law enforcement. So do you see that as that's going to mature also?
It's a huge barrier. We hope it matures. We have upgraded our electronic health record in order to hopefully be more compatible and be able to integrate with other systems. A lot of that also is money that we need to put towards additional software connections so that our system will communicate with others. But we're trying to make that a more smooth process, because for providers as well as patients, that's one of the big barriers that still interferes with healthcare.
Is there any kind of backlash from the medical provider community of like, well, we never did it this way before, and I can't see the guy on Skype. I have to have him come in. Or is that part of the new medical education, getting used to that kind of stuff?
The med students that I see coming in to work with me clinically in practice are exceptionally tech savvy. They jump on the computer and they're whizzing right through it. I think they're generationally more computer literate. I think in their training they're getting a lot more exposure to where the electronics are not so much a barrier to them as they might have been to providers who had been pen and paper providers for 20, 30, 40 years before before the transition. So,
but is that a mixed blessing or mixed bag? You know, all this information on the internet, you know, things like WebMD, not to single them out. I go all this and I go, oh my God, I have mesothelioma. Do you get a lot of that? Or
absolutely. I mean, patients do it all the time. They come in and sometimes, they're their own worst enemy as far as thinking that they've discovered their worst condition. Sometimes the information on the internet can be informative. Certainly having lots of access and resources to for our providers is very helpful, and because you can find many answers.
Well, you're getting a more informed consumer.
Minutes. Absolutely.
You have to spend possibly less time explaining whatever.
Absolutely. Sometimes that's the case, and certainly our ability to find out answers that we don't know in the moment of a patient visit or an acute issue.
Right.
We're also able to access a lot of that information, which is great.
When you were in med school, who was your doctor?
Dr. Arthur Kaufman, who's been a family physician in New Mexico for many years, well known through the university system.
So we can't ding you for not coming to El Pueblo.
No, I mean, I grew up in Albuquerque. He was my doc since I was a little kid, lived down the street from me. But the same, I think he was an excellent role model in the scheme of really being exemplary in being familiar with his community, with his patients, being an involved part of the community. And that's something I strive to be.
And there actually was a method to the madness of that question, because I've moved two or three times in my life and needed new medical everything. I'm new at a new store for everything, but I always tried to, on top of having good recommendations and all of that, always tried to get a provider, whether it's a dentist or a doctor, or a specialist, that was at least 20 years younger than me, because I don't want them, I want to outlive them. I don't want them to outlive me. I don't want to have them retire or die before me.
Right.
And so, I mean, America is aging. A lot of physicians in any city, including Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, physicians are retiring. So people are faced with, I need to find a new cardiologist, a new dentist, a new podiatrist, whatever. Why come to El Pueblo?
I mean, I think El Pueblo has a history to speak of for itself. It's been certainly Dr. Firestone's reputation of being the community doctor for the many years that he did, I think set a standard for the clinic itself. I would love to be that next provider to stay as long as he did or have that same reputation. I think a lot of my providers here also strive for that similar relationship with the patients and with the community and to be an integral part of healthcare in Bernalillo. I think that really just that desire and the community feel that El Pueblo still manages to uphold despite the big organizations in medicine.
I call them the big box stores.
The big box stores of medicine. I mean, they do a great job with certain things, I think, for primary care, for family practice, for preventative medicine. I think a place like El Pueblo does a fantastic job.
For the patients that you see, are there like a top two things that you would like them, or anyone listening, say, these are the top two things you should do that will drastically improve your health?
Oh my goodness. That's a hard one. Other than, you know, think healthy. I think one of the biggest changes a patient can make is be conscientious of what they're doing, regardless of what their healthcare issue is. So if it's, you know, diabetes, just pay attention to what you're eating. If it's obesity, you know, make that effort to take some extra walking steps and get some more exercise. If it's other complicated medical conditions, keeping up on your medicines. I think really a patient being informed about their condition and what they can do for it is some of the best medicine in itself.
Right. They always say it's exercise and diet. How is Bernalillo and the surrounding areas, how are we on diet? Are we a healthy eating community or not so healthy?
I mean, unfortunately, if you drive down 550, all you see is gas stations and fast food joints. That isn't to say that's what everybody eats every meal of the day. I think more homegrown options, more vegetables, more conscientious eating is really important in most communities in America, certainly New Mexico. We could do better.
We have access to such great food.
It's hard when we have such delicious food that may not be the best for our medical condition, but...
Excluding menudo.
Excluding menudo.
There's a question there someplace. Diet and exercise. Oh. How do you feel about buying organic or eating organic?
I think for those who can afford it, it's fantastic. I think it's probably better for you as far as exposing us to less potential toxins on our foods.
But it's risk versus reward. Do I up my food bill by 30% for am I getting something for that medically?
Hard to say that it would make a medical difference
in
the long run. I mean, I think certainly overall healthy habits, despite where you're purchasing your food, are gonna trump whether or not your apple is organic or not.
Right.
As long as you're making the healthy choices, I think that makes a big difference.
This is more of a personal question, so 19 minutes exactly. Regardless of how I grew up eating at 60, if I go organic, it's not going to make any difference, is it?
I don't think so.
My sister-in-law went vegetarian.
That's different.
She looks much worse because she's eating hummus and stuff like that all day long, like it's not 1,000 carbs.
I mean, I can't say that whether if you're changing your diet as far as going for less of a meat-based diet and a more plant-based diet, in theory, for many conditions, that's going to be better. Yeah. Organic versus non-organic, if you're comparing pears to pears and apples to apples, I don't think that's going to make a significant impact.
When I had some issues at Western medicine wasn't solving, I went to a traditional Chinese doctor. Looked like Jackie Chan. And he was a twin. But he would say, Americans, big meat, little vegetable. You need big vegetable, little meat. So it's,
I've got a sign on my door that has a plate divided into quarters. Really, one half of that is vegetables. A quarter of it is a piece of meat, a protein, piece of chicken.
Right.
And a quarter of it is carbs. And really, that is a balanced diet that many of us can strive for, not many of us achieve on a daily basis.
Yeah. I like being a browser, just kind of eat here, eat there. It's hard to go out to eat like that
because
you get enough for three people.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think our portions here are probably more than we really need. I think most restaurant servings of meals could probably be taken home for two meals worth of food.
I don't know if you ever go to Filberto's down here.
I haven't been.
I think it's more Mexican than... But amazing burritos, relatively healthy considering what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
But Audrey and I will split one, and that's more than enough.
Yeah, I think overeating in America is an epidemic. I think we could be more conscientious
England
about that.
Is up there too. I think they're fatter than us now. All right, back to the show here. So the 40th year anniversary. It is Rotary Park, the 24th of Saturday. Noon till whenever. Are you going to be presenting or giving a speech?
I'll be there. I'll bring my family as well. I hope to bring most of my work colleagues, and I may get up to say a few words, certainly in gratitude for offering a wonderful place to work and a great resource for the community.
So when, we'll say in 45 years, we do this again, what would you like to see be different from today, other than we've already spoken about dentistry, and now potentially podiatry?
That is a great question. I don't think I'd thought more than 5 years down the road. We certainly always strive to meet the needs of the community. So if we can be, certainly if there are future healthcare issues that come up within the town of Brandon, really within the surrounding areas, we'd like to be addressing those. I would love to be in the near future, hopefully working on things like hepatitis C treatment, which is an epidemic around New Mexico. It might be Zika by then. We continue to work on the opioid epidemic that is plaguing our state.
That's not getting any better?
There have been huge leaps and bounds and progress in that.
Super.
There's therapies that have helped people come off of opiates. There are lots of regulations now in place that are helping prescribers be more safe and aware of prescribing, safe prescribing habits, and a lot more checks and balances to help reinforce those.
It seems a little unfortunate. I guess it's just getting a reality check that so much of the success, the financial success of institutions, healthcare institutions, especially community ones, are based upon insurance regulations and government regulations, and you can't really, it's not like a business where you can say, well, if we cut a quarter ounce off of this, then we'll have more money. There's not a whole bunch, you can do things to make it worse, but there's not a lot you can do to make it better financially, can you?
Not in our situation. I mean, our bottom line is to keep our doors open and to be able to provide great quality healthcare. And we'll do that at a minimum if we have to, and we'll when we have surplus, we'll bring in more services
so
when we can.
Really, really above our pay grade to make these things happen, unless we vote in certain ways.
Sure. I mean, I think there are policies coming down the line. I think there are always political movements that can benefit the primary care and the smaller community clinics.
Right.
And the healthcare where it's needed most.
And. As we move forward in perhaps alternative medical treatments, I know that El Pueblo is a big anti-drug or anti-opiate kind of practice. How do you feel about herbalists or things like that?
Well, I can't really speak to that as much as far as my training. I certainly support alternative methods that may seem to help the patient feel better. I believe that... That there's lots of Eastern medicine and other holistic approaches that can be beneficial.
Someone came in, said, I knew a lady whose hair was thinning. Girlfriend, great place to get medical advice, said, try this biotin. your hair will get thicker. And sure enough, it did. Would, if they were your patient, would you go, oh, that's hokum, don't do that, you're going to mess things up?
Or no, just if it, I think there is the therapy that is that we are trained to prescribe and to provide, that we know to be beneficial, and there's stuff that we don't necessarily have the evidence for, but that certainly has been an old wives' tale or a grandmother's remedy for maybe centuries, and there's got to be some evidence to that
you're saying no evidence. Traditional Chinese medicine,
sure,
6,000 years, they must have figured out something.
And I say evidence in the way that Western medicine thinks about things and researches them. So.
Right.
So I'm not opposed to alternative therapies.
Do you think that we will see more uses for medical cannabis as they learn more about the different components of it?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's a budding industry right now, and a lot of research money
that's
being poured into that.
But budding industry.
Budding industry, okay. Indeed. A lot of resources and research going into that market right now, and hopefully we'll have safe, effective therapies that cannabis can potentially bring.
Currently, since New Mexico is a medical cannabis state, is it incorporated into El Pueblo at all? I mean, is there like, if you have this, medical cannabis in some form would be good?
Yeah, we don't do any of the formal evaluations for medical cannabis. We refer to the specialists for that.
But you would refer.
But we'd certainly support it if it seemed like an appropriate
symptoms?
Therapy.
I mean, I know they always say nausea from oncology.
Yeah, so certain medical conditions have good evidence that cannabis can be very helpful, and that those include behavioral issues, certain chronic pain issues, cancer-related chemo, nausea. I'm sure there's a long laundry list of those that I'm not...
Anorexia.
Anorexia, I imagine it would probably help quite.
Well, on that note, Dr. Hartman, I guess we can say thank you for making El Pueblo part of your professional life and supporting all of us. And this will be the third part of this interview, so you get to have the closing statements on behalf of everyone at El Pueblo that I've spoken to.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having us, Matt. We would like to invite everybody in Bernalillo and surrounding areas to come out to help celebrate our 40th anniversary on September 24th, noon
Rotary Park.
Look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you, and we appreciate your time. So for Conversations with Matthew Bronson, this has been a conversation with lots of folks here at El Pueblo Health Services celebrating 40 years. So if you are listening to this before September 24th, come on out to Rotary Park and help celebrate a great resource of this community. Thank you.
Thanks a bunch.